Good morning and blessings to all of us. It's really good to be together again this morning. I'm blessed. Seems like with all the sickness we had, there's more and more here. Not everyone's here yet this morning. There's still various ones that are sick and aren't able to be here, but it's a blessing too. See the sicknesses moving away slowly but surely. But beyond all that, it's a blessing to just simply be together. I think for various ones of you, being at the Bible school, that was a great, great, great blessing. Love to hear more just what the Lord's doing in all of our hearts with the Bible school. Maybe we can hear some more. Could we kneel together to pray before we start? Our great God, Father in heaven, we call upon you again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, and our Savior. God, I ask that you would again minister to our hearts or continue to minister. We're so grateful to be here together. We're so grateful to again open the Word. And we ask, Lord, that the truth of the Word of God would settle deeply upon us. We ask, O God, that our hearts would be drawn to you this morning. And Lord, on the subject of you chastising us and the things you want to do within our hearts, we welcome that. We ask for a deeper continued work. God, I would ask that you would give me a clear burden. Give me thoughts way beyond my paper. And I ask, Lord, that not only that, you would take these things way beyond what I even share this morning and make them a part of our hearts and lives. Father, we desire to be Christians. We desire to be Christ-like. We desire to be and become like you. So we welcome your work in our hearts. Thank you for your grace here this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are gone traveling. We pray, Lord, that you would come and build your church here in this local body and throughout the whole world. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring many to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and help us to be a part of the salt of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. On the subject of chastisement, I'm going to liken it very similar to what we have in, I'm going to say, in our homes with family, children. Children need some chastisement at times. But I'm curious, I'm very curious. Just without you thinking through it, you youth, well, actually there's various youth that are gone this morning, but you youth, is chastisement a good thing or a negative thing? Or is it medium? How good? Tell me this. What would happen if we wouldn't have any chastisement around here in our homes? I would like to maybe put out a suggestion here this morning. And you dads, consider with me. I would like to suggest to you dads that for the next year, there is no chastisement in our homes. None. Zero chastisement in our homes. Zero. Zero chastisement in our homes. Who can tell me how your home's going to be? How? It'd be a negative thing. Describe to me how your home's going to be. Chaos. Tell me more. How's your home going to be if there's no chastisement for the next year? Miserable? And someone else had something else here. Unruly. What else? How? Unhappy. Out of order. Serious? If for the next year there's no chastisement, at the end of the next year, okay, January 1st of 2024, you're allowed to start it again in your home. Can you imagine with me how your homes are going to be? A mess, right? So is chastisement positive or negative? Now let me ask you another question. Is chastisement a positive thing on the receiving end? Children, who likes to get a spanking? Raise your hand if you like to get a spanking. There's lots of smiles around here. Children, if you like to get a spanking, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Dads and youth. No? Not just dads. All of those who are converted here this morning, and if you get chastised from God, do you enjoy it? Raise your hand. Children, did you see your mom and dads? Did you see? They don't like to get spanked either. Are you serious? You don't like to get a spanking from the Lord. Okay. Now, maybe I'll ask another question. What would happen, all of you who are converted and walking with God, if for the rest of the year until January 1st of 2024, you would not get chastised from God? Where would you be in a year from now? Tell me this. Where? Lost. Complacent. Where would you be? Others? Hard-hearted? Where would you be? Am I right that there would be a clear shifting away from God? Am I right with that? So, is chastisement from the Lord, is it positive or negative? Positive. All those that really think that chastisement from God is good, you raise your hand. Okay, good. All right, so we're all agreed with that, right? All agreed with that. But it's obvious that we don't like it. We know it's positive, but we don't like to face it, right? It's positive, it's good, but it's very difficult to walk through. Now, consider with me how it would be if we wouldn't have a father. And I'd like to maybe reflect on America just a little bit. Presently, there's around 30% of homes in America that don't have a father in the home. If a man says he's a father, he's not a father in the home. As a result of that, crime, evil, wickedness has escalated. Do you think there's a reason for that? There's a reason for that. They say in America today that because of the lack of fathers in the home, these are things that have happened. Because of the lack of fathers in a home, There's an increase of poverty, fatherlessness lowers education performance, fatherlessness increases crime, fatherlessness increases drug abuse, fatherlessness increases sexual problems, fatherlessness increases physical and mental health problems. And they say that fatherlessness and the family breakdown has cost Australia, or is costing Australia today, $13 billion a year, simply because of the lack of fathers being in the home and being fathers. And with the breakdown in the family, there's major social problems in our society. And we could go on and on and on. But let me tell you that having a father, being a father, taking our responsibility as parents, as fathers, brings a stability to our children. It brings guidance. It brings direction. And it guides our life. And let me tell you, the same is true with our Heavenly Father. If you go through Scripture over and over again, God is depicted to us as our Heavenly Father. As our Heavenly Father. Now, there's a couple words before we want to look at some Scriptures. I want to just notice a couple things. It was very interesting here. I want to ask of those of you who enjoy or who really love to be chastised by God, there wasn't any hands. There wasn't any hands with the children. Neither was there any hands with the parents. There was smiles and I'm not sure how to describe it. There's smiles here, but there wasn't any hands. Here in Hebrews, where we want to look, it says it this way. He that endures chastisement. Endures. Now, is that how it is? Enduring? No one loves it, no one enjoys it, and yet it's very much needed. So there's an enduring that goes on within us when we receive chastisement. And it also says that we are not to despise it. Have you ever seen children despising a spanking? Have you seen that? And parents, have you ever despised chastisement from God? Have you ever despised it? See, nodding of heads. Moms and dads, youth, we are instructed to endure chastisement, and we are instructed to not despise it, but to open ourselves to it. Now turn with me in your Bibles. We'd just like to read in Hebrews chapter 12. In the context it comes right after Hebrews chapter 11 where it talks about all the men of faith. And it has all this big list of men of faith who served God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 it says, wherefore all these men of faith, and then it says, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. So if we want to have faith in God, if we want to be faithful, he tells us how to do it here. He goes on describing how to do that. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not. I want to just stop there. My son, despise not. There's many that despise chastenings from God. And in fact, they become bitter because of the difficulties and the things that come their way. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom he loveth, hang on. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with us, with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Bastards means you don't have a father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partaker of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Serious? That's why there wasn't any hands here. No chastening. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then we talked a little bit about bitterness. Listen to this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'll just stop there. Chastisement from the Lord. I would like to, by the time we're done here today, I would like for us to be thoroughly convinced in our heart that we need chastisement from God. And if we are not regularly being chastised from God in one way or another, there's something wrong. We need chastisement. And I would like to somehow help us to understand and have an appreciation for chastisement from God. And help us to understand we need it, so that we open our hearts and we don't despise it, because it is that that helps us to grow and it helps us to walk in the ways of God. So what is the goal and the purpose of chastisement? What is the goal and the purpose of it? Now I remember, you know, our children are largely grown. But I remember in years gone by, Martha coming and telling me You know, one of the boys, he's just pretty grouchy. There's something going on. He has a bad attitude, and there's something wrong. And when that happened, Martha and I had this thing where we started looking for an opportunity to maybe bring some correction or chastisement to help him change his attitude. Do you think that ever happens from God to us? You think so? Consider with me. Consider with me. Actually, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. There's an interesting verse. There's a couple verses here that actually describe God as looking for opportunities and looking for ways to bring this chastisement in ways that will help us change our life. In Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 7, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. That evil means I bring calamity. I bring calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, there are some people that I'm going to say have the thought and the idea that all good things are from God and all evil things are from who? Satan. Now, is that a right theology? How does Satan come sometimes? As an angel of light. Other times he comes as a sheep in wolf's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Sometimes Satan comes as an angel of light, as a beautiful thing. So are all things that are good from God? No. Are all negative things from Satan? No. Okay, do you follow? How do you get the train of thought? There are things that come our way, and sometimes we view them as, oh, that's from Satan. When actually God is allowing situations and calamities to come our way to chastise us. He allows situations and difficulties to come to bring chastisement to us. It says, I make peace and create evil. That evil simply means calamity. I, the Lord, do these things. Now, turn with me to Isaiah or to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, we have a similar verse. Jeremiah 18. Verse 11, it says this, Now therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way. What was he doing? God was devising difficulties into their life, and the intent was to help them return unto God. So it's the mercy and grace of God, and it's his chastisement, it's his love that draws us to him, to himself. He allows these things to come, so we start turning to him. I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. now. But most of us sit here and we don't want to face it. When those things come, we don't like it. We hate it. We hate it. It's difficult. Now, I'd like for us to consider a minute, where does this chastisement, in what forms does it come, and what forms do we face it? Help me a little bit. If all of you, or how many of you have gotten chastised by God? Raise your hand. Okay. Tell me what forms that it came in. How did it come? Anyone? Serious. Other people. Okay. Good. Other people. Chastisement came from other people. I agree with that. That's good. How did chastisement come your way? Physical pain. Physical pain. Others? Taking things that are close to our heart. Others. How did God bring chastisement your way? How did he do it? His word and his spirit speaking to our hearts. That's good. I put down a couple here. Is there others? Conviction through preaching. Good. Others? I have a couple that I wrote down here, and you might have more, but let me just mention a couple ways that it comes. Sometimes chastisement from the Lord comes through family members. It might come from a husband, it might come from a wife. Serious? It might come from brothers and sisters in the brotherhood. Chastisement might come from brothers or sisters in the brotherhood. Church family. Chastisement sometimes come my way through misunderstanding. Sometimes it's come my way through work situations. Sometimes chastisement has come my way through fellow employees. Maybe disagreements. Sometimes health issues. Sometimes financial struggles. Sometimes through prayer. And the Spirit of God speaking to me and just smiting my heart. God brings chastisement in many, many different ways. In many, many different ways. Chastisement is grievous at times. I have this little heading here that chastisement is grievous at times. Sometimes, the age of our children, I don't have to give many spankings these days, but I could tell you, and I could take you to places in our house where I knelt with my son and I gave a spanking. Gave the chastisement, and dad was crying and son was crying, and it was grievous. It was grievous to the father and it was grievous to the son. Chastisement, when it comes, often is very grievous. It's difficult. It's hard. There's a deep struggle that goes on inside. And as that chastisement comes, There's something within the heart that yields. That's intent, right? There's something in the heart that yields. And God puts his finger and gives the ability to yield the heart. Chastisement is grievous many times. I remember quite a number of years ago, sitting in a room, and I forget all the details. I don't even remember what the specific was. But I remember a man looking at me, and he gave me a fairly sharp rebuke. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember sitting there, and I remember bowing my head and the tears running down my cheeks. Chastisement is difficult and it's grievous at times. But if the heart is open, if the heart is open, the fruit that comes out of it is beautiful afterward. There's a surrendering of the heart. Children, it's the will of God that when your parents give you a spanking, that there's a yielding of the heart. There's a surrendering of the will. And even though there's pain that's inflicted and it's grievous at the time, there's a surrendering of the will that goes on. I'd like to suggest, moms and dads, youth, those of us who are walking with God, when difficult situations come our way and we recognize, oh, this isn't about this brother, this isn't about mom or dad, this isn't about this work situation, but God is actually allowing this to come my way to bring a deeper surrender and a deeper, just to surrender my will. Many times we brace ourselves and we don't accept. We don't view it as a chastisement of God, and we focus on the man that was maybe even doing wrong. Sometimes chastisement might come from even a wrongdoing of another brother. And I'm going to say this, I'm not here to justify any wrongdoing at all, but I'm going to say that at times, chastisement comes from a wrongdoing of another man. It can come that way. It can come that way. Many years ago, I was involved in a work situation. where my fellow employees, sorry, I wasn't the employer. In my work situation, my fellow people, I was a foreman, I had responsibility, but I was in a work situation where the men that worked with me literally hated my gut. Do you know what I mean by that? They literally hated me. Walk in the morning, and I'd say, good morning, and they'd go to my higher up and complain that I was saying good morning. And in that specific situation, the things that I faced became more and more intense. And there is an ongoing conflict. And it was a time I was praying to God. I was married, praying to God, sharing with my wife. And I would come home and I'd tell my wife, I am doing everything I can, but it doesn't matter what I do, this thing is escalating. And I knew that the time was coming when either I was going to be dismissed or they were. And my higher up was good buddies with them. But I remember the anguish. I remember the things that I went through. And I remember laying on my face before God Almighty and crying and praying. And you know, I enjoy people. I enjoy communicating. I enjoy, you know, I tend to be more apt at communicating. But God was showing me in those days that it doesn't matter who you are, you have nothing and you are nothing. And God was dealing with things in my own heart in those days. And even though my fellow workers, you know, my fellow men that I was working with, even though they were ungodly, God was using them to do something in my heart that he couldn't have done any other way. I just remember laying on the floor, praying and crying. That it was in bitterness of anguish that I again and again I surrendered my heart. And again I would surrender my heart. Do you think God was chastising me? I think there are things in my heart deep down that I had no idea was there. I think there was pride there. I think there was self-ability and things that God wanted to just crumble down. I remember as time went on the heels of that, a year later, I remember looking back and I remember just realizing that, you know, I don't have any abilities. I can do the very best I can, but unless God does it and God helps me, I have no abilities. But I know I wasn't at that place before. God uses chastisement like that to get down deep in the heart. Chastening is grievous at times. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. You want to turn there with me? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. And I will turn my hand upon thee and will purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. God says, I'm going to come. That dross, I'm going to take all the dross away. I'm going to come and I'm going to purify you. I'm going to come and I'm going to scrape all the impurities out from you. I'm going to come and I want to do it in your life. That's what he said. In Malachi chapter 3, turn there with me, Malachi 3. There's many, and I don't have time to look at all the scriptures. But throughout Scripture, there's a picture that's painted of refining gold, refining silver, and it likens it to what God wants to do in our hearts. Now, in that whole refining process, what they do, they have various methods of refining. But in refining gold, they take this form of ore that ultimately is gold, but there's so much impurities with it, and they put it in a pot, and they put fire to it. Who can tell me at what temperature water boils? Anyone? 212 degrees at sea level. I forgot about the sea level thing. It's good. 212 degrees at sea level. So, God, he gives this picture of this pot, and he puts the gold ore in there, and he starts turning on the heat. 212 degrees. Who can tell me at what point that gold starts to separate and the trash comes off the top? Anyone tell me? Anyone else? 1,400. It's between 1,900 and 2,000 degrees. It's between 1,900 and 2,000 degrees that there's a melting and there's a separation that goes on. And as that separation goes on, the pure stuff separates. It separates, and the junk starts separating. And it's this picture that throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, it gives this picture of our life, of God needing to take and turn on that heat. And he turns the fire on hotter and hotter and hotter. And as the fire is turned up, it makes us squirm, right? I described some of these things to you, you know, what I've gone through. And I could tell you many, many more stories. And God is continuing to do that. But God continues to turn up that fire. And he continues to turn it up because there's so much within us. There's pride. There's selfishness. There's self-will. There's just on and on. The things that are within our heart, God wants to take those things out. So he keeps turning up the fire. And there's some who resist it. There's some that when these difficult things come our way, we don't realize what it is. We look at the men who are involved. Maybe it's workers. Maybe it's brothers in the church. Maybe it's in our own family. Whatever it is, when that fire keeps turning up, we tend to look at the situations and we tend to focus on it rather than opening our heart to God and saying, God, are you chastising me? God, are you somehow wanting to do something in my heart? And God, if you are, I open myself to you. You know, it doesn't seem right that chastisement would come from a brother or chastisement would come from a wife or a husband. It doesn't seem right. But God continues to turn up the heat. And many are missing it. Many are missing it. And many don't even want it. Many don't even want it. Many don't even want it. So here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3 it says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. He said he's going to purify the sons of Levi. And he's going to sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, it says these words, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and then they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. What was happening to me when I described those difficult things and me laying on the floor and crying and weeping my heart out to God and saying, God, God, I need you. God, I need you to be working in my heart. God, I don't understand this. I don't, you know, it's, you know, you're taking everything away. That's how it felt. And I wasn't guilty. It wasn't my fault. I was this good guy, right? And yet God looked deep down in my heart, and he saw the things that somehow needed to get out, so he was turning the fire on. And for myself, it looked like I was doing everything right. But it was in those times, when God was chastising me, that I received a deeper understanding of my own undoneness and my own inabilities and my need to really depend on God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he describes it this way. He says, "For we are laborers together with God." Then he says, "Ye are God's husbandry." God is the husbandman, and we are the husbandry. We are the vine. And God comes, and he looks at us, and he sees all these crazy shoots coming off that grape arbor. Now, back behind our house, we have a grape arbor. And for those of you who have grapes, how many of you have a grape arbor and have grapes? Here, raise your hand. Quite a number of you. Every year, those grapes just go wild, right? There's just all these grapes, all the vines, all the crazy shoots go everywhere. And then every spring, you know, you take that clipper and you go around and you start clipping off all the crazy stuff. Right? And what happens if you don't? The energy flows in the wrong place, and really it ends up being a nuisance and it doesn't bear the fruit. But God depicts us as that, and he says, we are God's husbandry. We are God's husbandry. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man's work shall be made manifest, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed, every man's work is going to be revealed by fire of what sort it is. All our works are going to be revealed of what sort it is. They're going to be tried. They're going to be tried in the fire. Some work Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And when that pressure, when that purging, when that chastisement comes upon us, it starts to bring the separation. Now I'm just going to say that little story that I gave you of my fellow laborers, at the beginning of that, I didn't see my own needs and my own undoneness in my own heart. At the beginning of that, I didn't see it. I thought the way I was functioning, and I thought my way of doing it and my way, I was just pretty good. After going through that, and even though I look at it today, and it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault what happened. It really wasn't. But God used that, and he turned the fire on. And as that fire was turned on, and as the weeks and months went by, There's things that happened in my heart that dross was separating, and I saw things that I didn't see before. I didn't see it. I didn't see it before. But it separated. My understanding came. There's things, my understanding was opened, and even though it was very grievous, my understanding was opened further than it ever was before. We tend to think that if it's not my fault, then I'm all okay. That's not the case. God uses these situations. God uses these things to separate and help us understand. And all of a sudden there's things in our heart that we had no idea. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read a verse here that describes how we often feel when this chastisement comes. Okay? I want to read a verse that describes how we feel when this chastisement comes our way. In Psalm 39, verse 10 and 11. Remove thy stroke away from me. Remove, this is David talking to God, remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. Isn't that how we feel? Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. God with his hand is chastising us. And here's a cry. It says, remove thy hand from me. There's another heading. Chastening because we are sons. Now, I'd like to just reflect back to what I shared right in the beginning. We are being chastened because we are the sons of God. And if God wouldn't love us, he wouldn't chasten us. And if we wouldn't receive this chastening from God, we'd be bastards. We wouldn't have a father, and we'd go our own way. We would go our own way. Excuse me. Chastening. We are getting chastened because we are his sons. When we get chastened, it's a time to just reflect and say, Father, I am your son. You love me. You do care about me. It is your hand of mercy that's reaching out to me. Thank you for that. In Hebrews 12, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof we are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Then are ye bastards and not sons. Psalms 119:75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. It is the faithfulness of God that he's putting out his hand and he's allowing chastisement to come our way. Those difficulties, he's allowing them it to come our way. Now, consider with me a man who I'm going to describe very clearly hardened his heart and he turned away from the chastisement of God. He turned his heart away and he rejected God. He rejected the chastisement of God. His name was Esau. History even would indicate that Esau had the opportunity to be discipled by Shem, which was Noah's son, a God-fearing man, but he rejected these things. He turned his heart away from God. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he thought carefully with tears. He time and time again, he rejected, he despised, he turned his heart away. And therefore, he lost the blessing. One of the most amazing things in Scripture about this whole idea of suffering is when it describes what Jesus did and what he went through, and then it says that he learned obedience by it. I keep reading those verses and I confess I don't really understand it all. But listen to this in Hebrews, if you want to turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I love these verses. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with, can anyone tell me what the next words were? He offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears. Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears. Can anyone describe to me, I just want to hear from you, what is strong cryings and tears? Praying to God, strong cryings and tears. Anyone tell me? What is that? Fervent prayer of a righteous man. Anyone else? What did Jesus do? I mean, what does this describe? Brokenness. You know what I described to you earlier? There's times that I have those things. I don't know how often Jesus had them. I would assume that he had that frequently, much more frequent than I do. I would assume that. But it says here, Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, brokenness unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So the difficulties that he went through brought him to a deeper place of obedience. Jesus went through that. What about us? Wonderful. God chastens us sometimes while preaching, sometimes through prayer. At the heart of this whole thing, well, let me just read a verse here. In Mark chapter 12, in verse 30, it says this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. I remember working, and I remember going through things, and I remember as I was working and as I was praying, there's tears running down my cheeks and there's a deep crying in my heart, a deep crying to God, just a reaching out to God, just saying, God, I need you. God, you have to. God, you just, okay, just a deep cry that reaches out to God. Is that what God's really wanting? Right? Isn't that what God's really wanting? Sometimes that comes while praying. Sometimes that comes while listening to preaching. Sometimes it comes while singing a song. Some, you know, it comes in various ways. But it's that surrender, that crying out, God, God, I don't understand, but God, you have to. God, do it. Okay, that cry, that cry. That's it. Chastening brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I think we all want that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12 and verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this chastisement, I'm just going to suggest that many times we are not aware that this chastisement is from the Lord, and we look at other people, and we blame other people, and we blame circumstances when God is actually chastising us. God's chastising us and we miss it. And God is speaking to us. God's speaking to us, and we miss it. Now listen to this. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Don't refuse him. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. God is trying to use this chastisement to speak to us. Don't refuse it. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things, God is turning up the fire, and there's things that are going to remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God, for our God is a consuming fire. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We can somehow become aware of the chastisement of God that comes our way. We tend to do this. We tend to despise it. And we don't recognize it as the hand of God, when God is really turning up the fire. And when we do this, God only keeps turning up that fire more and more, until he gets our attention, until it gets bad enough. Lord bless us. Justice can be a help to where we just have an appreciation for God, how he works, how he brings his chastisement to us. Lord bless you.